Well, good morning. This morning we're going to begin a brand new series titled, Is It Believable? And our first lesson will be, is the story of creation believable? Our second lesson will be, is the fall of man believable? Our third lesson will be, was the flood of Noah believable? Or is the flood of Noah believable? And then our fourth lesson will be, is the Tower of Babel believable? Now, a lot of people look at the first 11 chapters of Genesis and they say it's to be interpreted allegorically. Well, I don't believe that. I think we have history here. And so that's the reason we're going to tackle this particular series. On July the 2nd, 2001, Time Magazine ran an article titled, How Apes Became Human. Yeah, that's pretty incredible when you think about it. But we're being fed this steady diet of evolution, and many are accepting it without really thinking it through. William James said, there is nothing so absurd that if you repeat it often enough, people will believe it. And so we have textbooks and magazines and museums that all insist that we are here by blind chance. Well, there's a Greek word for that, and it's baloney. The destructive results of teaching the Darwinian theory are becoming more and more evident every single day. In fact, Eric Harris wrote in his diary that he and his friend Dylan Klebold will kick up natural selection a few notches. These two were responsible for the massacre in Columbine. When the autopsy for Eric Harris was being done, it was noted that he had a t-shirt on with the words, natural selection. You see, if there is no God, then truth and morality are left up to the individual. Right? Because if there is no God, then you decide what's true and you decide what's moral. And that's a scary thought when you think about it. When man gets to decide what's moral and what's not moral. The questions of origin is crucial because how we think about ourselves comes out in the way that we behave or the way that we live. Are we just a mistake of nature, or are we truly created in the image of God? Our morality, purpose, and destiny rest in the verdict. Is the creation account in Genesis believable? Well, I believe that the opening chapters of Genesis are literally true. There are no allegories here. The Hebrew writer says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made not of things which are visible. You see, if we believe that, then we welcome scientific investigation. We understand that science is really God's ally, because all truth is God's truth. And the more truth we discover, the more God's word will be verified. And we see that over and over and over again. Jesus said in John 17, 17, when he prayed that intercessory prayer, he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so are we here by accident? Well, I want to talk about why I believe in the creation account given in Genesis. Number one, because it is contained in the Bible. Because it is in Genesis. And there are many who scoff and make fun of the Bible. Well, the Word of God, the Bible, is in fact the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, we know these verses well. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. You know, the Bible is the number one bestseller year after year. And it has all of its existence. It's incredible how many Bibles are sold every single year. And yet the Bible has changed the lives of billions of people over time. The Bible is accurate. Any way you look at it, it's accurate. In fact, you know, we're told that the Bible is, that the earth is round. Right? And so we read in Isaiah 40, verse 22, I'm not putting it up on the screen, but it says, it is He who sets above the circle of the earth. And so Isaiah tells us that the earth is a circle, that it's a globe. And how did Isaiah know this? It's not like we were able to get into space and look back at earth, right? There was no way to do that. We also know that the earth is suspended in space. Job 26:7 says, He stretcheth out the north over empty space, and He hung the earth on nothing. You know, that's 4,000 years before Isaac Newton got hit in the head with an apple. Right? We didn't know anything about gravity. This is why I believe in the Bible versus other world religions, because when you read the writings of other world religions, they get this wrong. They get this wrong. You know, the earth is on the back of a giant turtle, or the earth is on the back of a giant catfish, or the earth is on the back of a man, or it's supported by pillars. They're wrong. Gravity is what holds the earth in place. So these are just some scientific accuracies that we know. And it's incredible. How could Job possibly know this? How could he possibly know this? There's no way that he could know this unless the one who knows all things told him, and that is the case. And then also, you know, we read about the paths of the seas, of the sea, and Psalm 8, verse 8. Many, many years ago, Matthew Fontaine Maury was sick on his bed, and he was reading the Bible, and he read Psalm 8, and he saw there the paths of the seas. Well, he is the father of modern-day oceanography. And so he said, if God says there are paths in the sea, then there are paths in the sea, and I'm going to go find them. And he did. Basically, what you have are rivers. They're currents in the sea. The Gulf Stream is one of them. And that's the reason that Ireland and Scotland don't have harsh winters like we have. Because that warm air going up the Gulf Stream helps them out. If it weren't for that, it would be a whole lot colder up there. But you have these rivers, these currents. And if you get in one, even Christopher Columbus noticed that, you know, crossing the Atlantic, you know, it was slow, but going back, it was faster. Well, the reason it was faster, he got into a current. If you get into a current, you'll go at a better clip than if you're not in a current. And so you do have these paths in the sea. The Bible also tells us that trees and plants and animals, and yes, you can include mankind, all produce after their kind. And so, you know, turtles don't produce chickens. Dogs don't produce lions, right? Watermelon plants do not produce, you know, cantaloupe. Or corn plants don't produce tomatoes. All plants, all animals, and human beings produce after their kind. So humans did not come from chimpanzees. You know, you read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 7. And Moses writes and says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male, Zakar, and female, Nakeva. And so God created man. Imagine for just a moment, you know, as we look at these passages that clearly show scientific truths, and it's clear. We have all these scientific truths. The Bible is not a science book, but whenever it references anything that has to do with science, it is absolutely 100% correct. The earth being a circle, the earth is suspended in space, or there are paths in the seas, or everything produces after its own kind. We know this to be true. And so imagine a 35-year-old science book, if you could get one. Now, this is 3,500 years old, right? From the giving of the law, 1500 BC, to today is 3,500 years. Now, I think any other science book that was written 3,500 years ago would have had to have been changed over time, because they would have realized they got it wrong, right? And, you know, at one time we believed that the earth was the center and that the sun went around the earth, that it's the opposite that's true. And so the Bible is accurate, and it's amazing, because it wasn't that long ago there are people who believed that the earth was flat. We still have people today who believe. You have the Flat Earth Society. That's crazy. Who believes the earth is flat, that you just cruise along and fall off? I mean, it's crazy, especially with, you know, having been in space and looking back at the earth, and, you know, we're able to see that the earth is not flat, but yet there are people who just believe it. It's crazy, but they do. Well, the Bible is the source of all truth. And we read a moment ago, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so there's no question about it. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you believe that one verse right there, you can believe everything that follows that verse. But if you don't believe that verse, you're going to have difficulty with stuff that follows. When you get the Balaam's donkey, for example, right? When you hear about a donkey talking, it's going to sound crazy. But if you believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you believe that, then you can believe everything that follows. But if you don't believe that, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to have trouble. And we just read in Genesis 1, 26 and 7, which clearly says that God was the created man in his image. Isn't that better than time and chance? I mean, think about it, because that's what science wants us to believe. Time and chance produced us. Listen, frogs do not turn into princes. I don't care how many times you kiss them. They do not turn into princes. Secondly, I believe in the Genesis account of creation because it's a logical account of origins. You see, the creation demands a creator, and that's just common sense when you think about it, right? We know this building demands a builder. Now, I don't know who the builder was. I never saw the builder, but I know there was one because the building is here. And I know that there is a creator because of the creation. So when I look outside and look around, I know that there's a God. There's no question. It's common sense. Paul quotes it, but David in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And so the heavens speak of his existence. We know that there's a God. You know, if you go into a cave and you discover some primitive drawings, one of the things you do is you conclude that intelligent life had been in that cave. You don't have to be all that intelligent to figure that out, Right? You know that that didn't happen by chance and time. You know that some individual drew on the wall of that cave. Well, man is far more complex than the drawings on the wall of a cave. You agree? And if you think of intelligent life, when you see drawings on the wall of a cave, how can you not think of intelligent life when you look at human beings? I mean, look at man. And we've been discussing this in my class with the teens. But it's just so incredible when you think about this. We talked about Mount Rushmore. You know, you look at Mount Rushmore and you know that that's not the result of time and chance. You know, it's just weathered and there are four heads, these presidents. You know intelligent life put that there. You know that. And when you look at man, clearly, he's greater than everything on planet Earth. There's nothing like man. We have some really interesting animals to observe and look at, right? And they're amazing to see, but they're so helpless. You know, they live in the woods. They get snowed on and rained on. They don't live in houses like we do with air conditioning and plumbing and, you know, they live in the woods. Or you take the great ocean creatures, whether it's whales or white sharks or orcas or whatever it might be. They're big and powerful, yet they can get caught in a net and drown. And they're helpless because they can't untangle themselves. If we get caught in the net, we know how to untangle it. If we're in a situation we can climb out of it, they cannot. We can pollute the ocean, and they can't do a thing about it. They can't say we need to create an EPA, we need to do something to clean up our environment. They're helpless to do that. They don't know how to do that. They cannot do that. We can clean it, but they can't. Man is intelligent. There's no way you can say man is just a freak of nature. But that's what many want you to believe. But here's the thing, Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, this is what Paul says, and he's going to Psalm 19. But he says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Listen, man will have no excuse when he stands before God on judgment day for not believing in God. He will absolutely have no excuse. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens speak 24 hours a day in your language that there is a God. And you cannot deny it. Man has no excuse for believing in God. None. You think about DNA. You talk about the complexity of the human being and just a tiny little cell, you know, containing your DNA. It contains everything you are. Your DNA decides your height, your weight, your hair color, your eye color, everything about you, who you are. And it's in that tiny, tiny little cell that's only observable by a microscope. Yet, if you were to decode all of the information that's in a cell, it would take it would fill a library of 4,000 books. This is one cell. And you have 37 trillion of them in your body. And it has your total makeup, all in that one cell. How could anyone conclude that this happened by chance? And some have the audacity to say that there's no God. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that is what he is. He is a fool if he doesn't believe. But there's some questions. Well, I did have Romans 1:20 up there, didn't I? Some questions we need to ask. Number one, does the theory of evolution explain the origin of life? No. No, it does not. There are a couple of answers apart from God. You know, we either came down from outer space or we're just an accident. So you can pick one of those. If you don't believe the Genesis account, you can believe then that we came down from outer space or we're just a result of time and chance. Isn't it easier to believe in God? And here's another question. Why is there no evidence of fossils and transitional forms? You know, if evolution is true, how come we don't have any fossils that show animals that are in the transitional form, where they're going from one species to another species? The Bible says it produces after its kind. There's nothing about one species to another species to another species. It doesn't happen that way. And so, think about this for just a moment. And by the way, some people make up the fossil evidence. I don't know if you know that or not. But some will find a dinosaur and then, you know, a few bones or whatever. And then 85% of it is plaster. And they've created this creature. And it could be fairly accurate, but the bottom line is, you know, it only consists of a few bones. And the rest of it's plaster. Now, of course, they do have some that are more whole, but they do distort the fossil record. There's no question about that. So why is there no evidence of fossils and transitional forms? Since lower life forms graduated into higher life forms, there should be all kinds of evidence out there to document that, but there are not. Here's another one. Why are there no living evidence of transitional forms? You know, why do we not see people running around with a tail on or something? I mean, why don't we see that? But we don't. I mean, no matter where you look, no matter what species you look at, you don't see any that are in the transitional form where they're changing or turning into something else. There's no evidence for that. And what about the Cambrian explosion, which really gave Darwin a fit because there's no explanation for it. You know, there's a whole layer of creatures that are brand new and they have nothing to do with previous life forms. And there's no explanation for it. There's no explanation Darwin had. And so you have all these creatures and they're not connected to previous life forms. Well, if evolution's true, that they should be connected, but they're not connected because they're completely different species. Doesn't the Big Bang theory presuppose an original cause? Well, yes. What blew up? Right? So you already have something that's in existence. Explain the principle of irreducible complexity and how it relates to evolution. You see, they want us to believe that species are so complex that, their small gradual steps led up to what they are. That simply can't be the case. What if a fish, for example, grew lungs? What would happen? Well, what would happen is the fish would die. That's what would happen. He wouldn't be able to pass on his genes and nothing else would come of it, right? You can't have a fish just develop lungs because he lives under the water. And so it would drown. That's what would happen. That cannot happen that way. The guy who invented this idea, came up with this idea based on design, etc. You know, he used a mousetrap as an example and says, you know, you have the base and you have the the bar, and you have the spring, and then you have the little latch. And you have to have all those components there, or you don't have a mousetrap. Right? You can't gradually have a mousetrap. You either have one or you don't. And you know, when you take a human being, you can't gradually, you know, develop a heart, and then a lung, and then a spleen. We have to have all that at one time. Right? The creation itself. I mean, in order for there to be life here, you can't have the sun coming along millions of years later, and then the moon millions of years later. And then, no, all that has to be in place at one time at the same time. That's the only way it works, or you don't have life. And so all of that needs to be in place on the spot immediately. But going back to Romans 1, 21 and 22, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's what happens. And what man seeks to do is simply to repress the knowledge of God, or suppress the knowledge of God. God has placed it within each person that He is and that He exists. But we deny that. We just shove that down because we want to do what we want to do. We want to live how we want to live, and we don't want anyone telling us how to live. But also, it is so hated by the opposition. And so one of the evidence of truth is the extent to which it is opposed. Why are so many people against the Scriptures? What are people afraid of when it comes to the Bible? I mean, they're not afraid of evolution. They're not afraid of mythology. Why are they afraid of the Bible? Here's why they're afraid of the Bible. And this is the condemnation: that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the reason. And so, the argument is not really about science. It's really about opposing worldviews. That's really what the argument is all about. You see, our intellectual pride, we rebel against God. That's what Paul says in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so, because men suppress the truth, God's wrath is being poured out upon them. Are we free to live as we choose? Or are we accountable to God? In our intellectual pride, we rebel against God. In our intellectual pride, we suppress the truth of God. There was even taught by Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 19, talking about marriage, but He says, have you never read that He in the beginning made them both male and female? You see, Jesus was there when it happened. No scientist was. But He was there. John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In other words, everything was made by Jesus, and nothing exists that He didn't bring into existence. Jesus was there. Jesus knows. No scientist was there. Therefore, they do not know. Evolution says man is getting better. The Bible says that man is devolving. Man is actually getting worse. Paul even wrote in 2 Timothy, a book we looked at here not long ago, that in the end times, men are going to go from bad to worse. Listen, you do not have to commit intellectual suicide to believe in the Bible. But you do have to crucify intellectual pride. That's what you have to crucify. Folks, we're not here by natural selection. We're here by divine creation. Genesis chapter 1. You were not made in the image of a chimpanzee. You were created in the image of God. And it is so important that we remember this. I want to turn to one verse in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, as Paul is speaking on Mars Hill about the unknown God, and he says, that's the one I want to talk to you about, the one you don't know. In verses 28 and 29, Paul says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by the art of man's devising. You see, we bear the image of the one who created us. Therefore, we should think that God is living and intelligent and moral like we are, because we share his image. Chimpanzees do not share that image. They do not have the brain capacity that we possess and have. And again, that's why they live outside and we live inside. And so, I believe in the Genesis account of creation. I believe it's very believable, especially when you look at all of the alternatives. So, this morning, do you believe in the Genesis account of creation? Do you believe you were created in the image of God? I hope that you do. And if you are not in a relationship with this God who created you, you can be. And he's made it possible because he sent his son Jesus into the world. And Jesus went to a cross, and he went to a cross to pay the debt of your sins and my sins, so those sins could be forgiven in the relationship that we had with God in the beginning that was cut off, that we'll talk about next week. It was cut off as a result of sin. That can be restored through forgiveness. God wants to forgive you. And so God has made forgiveness possible in Jesus Christ. In Mark 16:16, he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe that? If so, we encourage you to respond as we stand and sing.